Today is August 30th, 2013. I'm Tom Gillesberg from the Danish Schiller Institute, and today I'm very honored to be speaking to His Excellency Mr. Hamid Bayat, the Iranian ambassador to Denmark, on the very dramatic historic events we're sitting right in the middle of right now. I mean, we've seen a massive media campaign over the last couple of weeks, basically designed to say, right now, in the situation in Syria, the ongoing war, we now have a totally changed situation. We have chemical warfare being introduced, is said by the media, by the regime. Therefore, we have to have military action. Now, don't think, act. And of course, many people in their mind think back to the events of the Iraq war, where in the same manner, suddenly seemingly out of the blue, British intelligence reports said, we are in a situation now where weapons of mass destruction can be introduced at any moment, and therefore we have to act. Now, the American statesman Lyndon LaRouche came out with a statement yesterday from, as a leading US opposition figure to the Bush policy that was carried out for 8 years, and now to the Obama policy, the Obama war policy, saying no military action, no matter how small, the danger of thermonuclear war is too grave. And in this statement, he basically said that even a limited military action from the US side into Syria would dramatically increase the likelihood of a larger war that at some point, nobody knows how quickly, could lead to major war and the use of nuclear weapons with all that implies. And that this policy of war is the policy of the British Crown, where they are responding to the global financial crisis and financial crash with a global war policy, and where even the British Royal House have been very emphatically stating they think the world population should be reduced dramatically from the present 7 billion to even less than 1. And says Mr. LaRouche in his statement, Barack Obama, the American president, is a tool of this grouping in Britain, which includes also Wall Street in the United States. And it has to be seen, the present situation, as part of an ongoing build-up that has been taking place in the United States against Russia, against China, and for the possibility of what you can say a thermonuclear war in the Pacific theater. And therefore, you really have to be aware that any military action, he says, could go out of control sooner than you think. Now, of course, since he made that statement yesterday, there was dramatic political events taking place in Great Britain, where the British Parliament defied the Prime Minister Cameron and basically voted down to give the Prime Minister Cameron the possibility of taking military action. So it seems like this threat of immediate military action might have been delayed at least for the weekend, at least into next week. And it also shows that nothing is still settled. Anything can come out of this, and therefore this is something the world has to act on and has to act on now to see how this should end up. So what is your evaluation of the present situation as it stands right now? What would be the consequence, as you see it, of a military attack from the US side, with or without other allies taking part of it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. در ابتدا تشکر میکنم از مؤسسه شیلر به خاطر فرصت این مصاحبه.
First of all, I would like to thank the Schiller Institute for the opportunity for this interview.
و در خصوص تحولاتی که اشاره کردید، مایلم در ابتدا مواضع و دیدگاه‌های کشورم رو تشریح بکنم و بعد به تحلیل شرایط و تحولاتی که امروز در صحنه خاورمیانه و به خصوص سوریه اتفاق افتاده اشاراتی داشته باشم.
First of all, I would like to state the position of my country on the matter and then an analysis of the latest situation, particularly in Syria.
در خصوص بحران سوریه، از آغاز بحران دولت جمهوری اسلامی ایران همواره بر ایجاد و دستیابی به یک راه حل سیاسی و دیپلماتیک برای پایان دادن به بحران سوریه تاکید ورزید.
Right from the start of the events in Syria, the Islamic Republic of Iran had insisted on a political solution to the crisis in Syria.
و تمامی تلاش خودش رو بر اساس این هدف و بر اساس این سیاست دنبال کرد.
And we have taken all steps, all efforts towards fulfilling this end.
و در این راستا از هر اقدامی در چارچوب راه حل سیاسی حمایت کرد.
And we have supported any action within the framework of a political solution.
از جمله در راستای و در رابطه با اقداماتی که سازمان ملل برای اعزام نماینده آقای کوفی انان و بعد افسر ابراهیمی داشتن ما حمایت جدی به عمل آورد.
Including the UN representatives Kofi Annan and then Mr. Afzal Ibrahimi, we supported both these missions.
همچنین از حضور در هر گونه اجلاس بین‌المللی برای یافتن راه حل سیاسی ما حمایت کرده و آمادگی خودمون رو اعلام کرد.
And we have also supported any international gatherings on the issue to find the solution, and we've also announced that we would be ready to participate.
در همین چارچوب نتایج اجلاس ژنو یک رو ما مورد حمایت قرار دادیم.
Within this framework, we announced our support for the outcome of the Geneva One conference.
و آمادگی خودمون رو برای شرکت در اجلاس ژنو دو اعلام کردیم.
And we announced that we would be ready to take part in Geneva Two.
البته کشورهای مانع از حضور ایران شدند.
But some countries, of course, tried to prevent Iran from.
در اجلاس ژنو یک مانع شدند و برای اجلاس ژنو دو هم همچنان مانع تراشی.
And they of course prevented Iran from taking part in Geneva One, and they also have, tried to beat on the same drum for Geneva Two as well.
از همان ابتدا تأکید داشتیم و همچنان تأکید داریم که بحران سوریه هیچ گونه راه حل نظامی ندارد.
We have emphasized all along that the Syrian crisis has no military solution.
در خصوص حمله شیمیایی که صورت گرفته، جمهوری اسلامی ایران به شدت هر گونه حمله شیمیایی رو محکوم کرد. و میکنه.
Regarding the chemical use of chemical weapons in Syria, the Islamic Republic of Iran condemns utterly any kind of use of chemical weapons.
از اینکه از طرف هر کسی باشه از نظر ما محکوم.
Whoever the perpetrator, we condemn it, whoever that might be.
چرا که ما خود قربانی بمباران شیمیایی بودیم و از همه دنیا آگاه‌تر هستیم به خطرات حملات شیمیایی.
This is because we speak from experience. Iran has been a victim of chemical bombs. And we have more experience than the world about the sufferings that this can inflict on ordinary people.
در خصوص فضای رسانه‌ای که و اقداماتی که در حدود یک هفته قبل آغاز شد برای فراهم کردن زمینه حمله نظام به سوریه چند نکته رو باید توضیح بدم.
Regarding the media propaganda that has started a week ago to actually lay the foundation for an attack on Syria, I would like to state as follows.
اولا در حالی که بازرسان سازمان ملل در دمشق حضور داشتند، اعلام این که باید یک اقدام نظامی صورت بگیره قبل از اینکه نتایج بررسی ها صورت بگیره، خود یک سوال و این مسئله خودش سوال برانگیز بود.
You know, the United Nations inspectors were on the ground in Syria and there was talk of a military attack even before they have concluded their work there. It's questionable to us.
سوال دیگر که برای جامعه جهانی قابل فهم نیست اینکه در حالی که ما سازوکار بین المللی تحت عنوان شورای امنیت و سازمان ملل داریم، بعضی کشورها به پشتوانه قدرت نظامی خودشون اعلام میکنن بدون هر گونه سازوکار بین المللی آمادگی دارن برای اقدام نظامی علیه کشور دیگه.
The next question that the international community needs to have an answer for is that while there are, you know, frameworks for, you know, international dealings like the United Nations and so on, there are countries that want to rely on their military powers to do whatever they want to do, you know, of their policies.
صرف اینکه ما دارای قدرت هستیم، دارای قدرت نظامی هستیم، پس می توانیم خودمون در مقام قضاوت قرار بگیریم، قضاوت بکنیم، تصمیم بگیریم و اقدام بکنیم.
And they want to say that just because we have the military power, we are the judge. We decide what action needs to be taken, and we have the power to take that action.
دو تا مسئله مهم در این مسئله در این موضوع وجود داره.
There are two issues here.
اولا امروز جامعه جهانی نمیپذیرد بعد از 60 سال از شکل‌گیری سازمان ملل مشروعیت سازمان ملل و شورای امنیت توسط اقدامات یک جانبه از بین بره.
You know, it's now about 60 years of the formation of the United Nations and the Security Council. It is now the world community will not allow the legitimacy of the United Nations to be undermined by unilateral actions by whoever.
مسئله دیگه این هستش که کشوری مثل ایالات متحده آمریکا که خود بنابر اسناد منتشر از سوی خود این کشور در سالهای جنگ صدام و عراق علیه ایران حامی حملات شیمیایی صدام علیه ایران بوده است، نمیتواند پلیس صالحی برای جامعه جهانی جهت اقدام علیه حملات شیمیایی باشد.
Just last week, America's own intelligence revealed that America had given support to Saddam Hussein in his chemical attacks against Iran. Now, how can the United States be an honest broker in this? And how can the United States, which itself has supported the use of chemical weapons in the past, can be the judge now to decide and act unilaterally against
Iran? نقش پلیس جهانی.
And to be the world police in this and to act unilaterally regarding issues of chemical attacks.
در دهه 80 هنگامی که حلبچه و سردشت تحت بمباران شدید شیمیایی قرار گرفتند و تعدادی از زنان و کودکان مردم بی‌گناه کشته شدند، نقش آمریکا برای حمایت از این مردم کجا بود؟
You know, in the 1980s when Saddam Hussein attacked namely Sardasht in Iran and Halabja on the border with Iraq. Now, where was America then? Where was American role in there in defending victims of chemical attacks?
در حالی که در اون زمان کاملا روشن و بدیهی بود که رژیم صدام از این سلاح شیمیایی علیه مردم استفاده کرد.
It was quite clear at that time that Saddam Hussein had been resorting to the use of chemical weapons all along.
امروز در خصوص حمله شیمیایی در سوریه ابهامات زیادی وجود دارد.
Right now there are ambiguities about the use of chemical weapons in Syria.
هر طرفی ادعاهای خاص خودش را دارد.
Every side are making their own claims.
اما مهمترین موضوع این است که هر اقدامی در چارچوب حمایت بین‌المللی نیازمند مشروعیت بین‌المللی است.
But the important point is this: any action has to be supported that would want to meet the consent of the international community must have legal permission from the world community.
ضمن آن که طی دو دهه اخیر تجارب زیادی و تجارب مختلفی کشورها و ملت‌ها داشتند از اینکه اقداماتی به نام حمایت از مردم صورت گرفته که در نهایت اهداف دیگری دنبال می‌کرد.
In the last two decades there have been experience that countries have taken action in the name of support for the people whereas the actual intention behind those actions have not been as been stated.
مواضع و اظهاراتی رو که مقامات آمریکایی و بعضاً مقامات بریتانیایی طی چند روز گذشته در خصوص بدیهی بودن و غیر قابل انکار بودن اقدام دولت سوریه در بکارگیری سلاح شیمیایی مطرح می‌کردند دقیقاً یادآور مواضع و اظهاراتی بود که مقامات آمریکایی قبل از حمله به عراق داشتند.
What we have been hearing in the last few days about from the American quarter and from the British side about the events in Syria and preparing of the public for action are reminiscent of exactly what went on before the invasion of Iraq.
قبل از حمله به عراق هم تأکید داشتند که برای اونها تردیدی وجود ندارد که عراق دارای سلاح کشتار جنگی.
Before they invaded Iraq, they were adamant that they had absolutely no doubt that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction.
بعد از چند سال ناگزیر به عذرخواهی شدند و مورد انتقاد همپیمانانشون قرار گرفت.
After so many years, you know, the truth came out and then they had to apologize and of course, you know, they came under heavy criticism even from their own allies.
این تجارب باعث شده تا امروز بخشی از جامعه بین‌المللی از همراهی با این صدای جنگ طلبانه امتناع ورزد.
These experiences have brought about the situation where a part of the world community are not supportive of the war drumbeat that is now currently going on.
بسیاری از کشورهای اروپایی نسبت به اقدام یک جانبه و بدون چتر سازمان ملل مخالفت کردند.
Many European countries have opposed any unilateral actions without outside the framework of United Nations umbrella.
و روز گذشته پارلمان انگلیس به عنوان همپیمان آمریکا با توجه به سوابق سور اقدامات صورت گرفته چنین مجوز چنین اقدامی رو به دولت انگلیس نداد.
And as you mentioned, the just last night, the British Parliament, taking the lessons from Iraq, voted down the request from the British government to take unilateral action in Syria,
which hadn't happened for I think many decades that a British Parliament has gone against such a government policy.
Exactly. بنابراین پذیرش اقدامات یک جانبه و خودسرانه بر مبنای داشتن زور و قدرت برای جامعه جهانی قابل پذیرش نیست.
So any unilateral action just based on the fact that one is powerful and one is determined to do it is not acceptable to the world community.
و کشورها و ملت‌ها امروز نمیپذیرند که کشوری نظیر آمریکا صرفاً به خاطر داشتن قدرت بالادستی، قدرت برتر اجازه داشته باشه که هر اقدامی رو بخواد در صحنه جهانی علیه ملت‌ها و کشورهای دیگه داشته باشه.
As I said, you know, the world community does not accept, you know, countries like America to take unilateral actions just because they have the military might.
اجازه بدید وجه دیگر قضیه رو با هم بررسی کنیم.
Let's now look into another aspect of the issue.
اقدام نظامی و مداخله نظامی با چه هدفی می‌خواهد صورت بگیرد و چه نتایجی می‌تواند داشته باشد؟
The any military action, you know, what would be the goal of any military action? And what would be the repercussions? What would be the consequences?
در سوریه چه اتفاقی
Now, what has happened in Syria?
در سوریه بعد از حوادثی که در کشورهای حوزه خاورمیانه رخ داد و به عنوان در واقع درخواست اصلاحاتی در نظام هاشون بود بخشی از مردم سوریه هم مطالباتی داشتند.
Following events in the countries of the Middle East where people were demanding reforms, a part of the community, the Syrian community, were also demanding changes in their country.
از همون ابتدا این تصور برای برخی از کشورها شکل گرفت که میتوان با یک روش و با یک شکل تغییرات یکسانی در کشورهای مختلف به وجود بیاد.
You know, this perception came into being that the same solution can be applied to different countries.
غافل از این که هر یک از کشورهای این منطقه دارای ویژگی‌های خاص خودش است.
Disregarding the fact that every single one of these countries, they have their own different characteristics and they all require different solutions.
هرگز نمیتوان شرایط تونس با لیبی یا لیبی با مصر و یا مصر با سوریه را یکسان دانست.
So we cannot ever, you know, say the situation in Tunisia is the same as in Libya, or the situation in Libya is the same as Egypt, or Egypt is the same as Syria. We can't do that.
تحولاتی که در این کشورها رخ داده معید این موضوع است.
And the developments that are taking this place actually prove this point.
اگر چنین تصور بکنیم به مانند این هستش که یک پزشک بخواهد برای بیماران مختلفش با یک نسخه همه رو درمان کنه.
This would be to say that with one prescription a doctor can cure you know all different kinds of patients.
به این غیر ممکن.
It's impossible.
در سوریه از آغاز بلافاصله بدون اینکه فرصتی برای تغییرات وجود داشته باشه شرایط میدانی سوریه به سمت یک جنگ نظامی تغییر پیدا کرد.
You know, in the case of Syria, without allowing for any possibility for change to be implemented, immediately the field went towards a military confrontation.
و متاسفانه بخشی از کشورهای منطقه و بخشی از کشورهای خارج منطقه با حمایت‌های متنوع از جمله فرستادن پول، فرستادن سلاح و اخیراً در طی ماه‌های اخیر حضور شهروندان کشورهای مختلف به عنوان نیروهای جنگی در کنار برخی از مخالفین موجب شد که زمینه‌های حضور گسترده گروه‌های تروریستی در سوریه فراهم بشه.
Unfortunately, some countries in the region, some countries outside the region, they blended in and they by sending money, by sending weapons and in recent months by sending people who are well, not sending but allowing people from the, you know, their nationals to travel to the region. To join the groups in their fighting, and this has brought about the current situation.
I mean, you're of course referring to the fact that everybody knows that Saudi Arabia, Qatar has been spending huge amounts of money
in supporting the opposition.
I don't want to name, but unfortunately, you know, this is the case that you know many countries have blended in.
شرایط سوریه به سمت یک جنگ داخلی خانمانسوز.
And what happened in Syria was the situation turned into a destructive civil war.
در ابتدا مطرح کردند که حکومت بشار اسد ظرف چند ماه ساقط شد.
After the uprising, they immediately came up with this notion that within months or so, the Bashar Assad government will collapse.
اما این اتفاق نیفتاد.
But this didn't happen.
ارتش در کنار بشار اسد.
The army.
و بخشی از مردم، بخش زیادی از مردم در کنار بشار اسد.
Majority of the Syrian people, the army, they remain steadfastly behind Saddam, behind Bashar Assad.
در مقابل، گروه‌های مختلف. با اختلافات زیاد حضور نیروهای تروریستی القاعده سلفی‌ها در داخل این گروه‌ها موجب شد تا بحران سوریه روز به روز پیچیده‌تر بشه.
And on the other side, you know, different groups including al-Qaeda, including other terrorist groups, the presence of these people have actually made the crisis in Syria very, very complicated.
در چنین شرایطی منطقی ترین راهی که میتوان برای پایان چنین بحرانی در نظر گرفت یک راه حل سیاسی است. تا دو طرف در چارچوب مذاکرات بتوانند به یک راه حلی برای پایان این خشونت‌ها و این جنگ خانمانسوز برسند.
So in this situation, the most logical thing would be a political solution where all different groups, all different parties can attend and they can hammer out a solution to end this very, very destructive civil war.
در همین چارچوب ما مذاکرات متنوعی رو با هم کشورها و هم حتی معارضین سوری داشتیم.
We have had, you know, discussions with a lot of countries on this, even some of the oppositions on this.
بخشی از معارضه میپذیرند که باید با دولت سوریه مذاکره کنند.
Some opposition groups, they accept that they have to negotiate with the Syrian government.
اما متأسفانه همین معارضه تحت فشار دیگران قرار میگیرند تا راه حل نظامی رو دنبال کنند.
But unfortunately, those groups, they are, you know, pressure is brought to bear on them to actually opt out of that and prefer the military solution.
بنابراین تاکنون ثابت شده و قطعی است که ادامه جنگ و این جنگ داخلی نمیتواند به نتیجه برای پایان خشونت‌ها برسد.
It has been proven that the continuation of the current status cannot, you know, lead to any solution.
اما این سوالی مطرح میشه، آیا مداخله نظامی خارجی میتواند پایان دهد به این خشونت‌ها؟
And then the question arises, will foreign military intervention, you know, can military intervention from abroad, can this lead to an end of the situation?
برای پاسخ به این سوال به دو فاکتور نیاز داریم.
To answer this we need, you know, to point out two factors.
یک فاکتوری که میتونه کمک بکنه به رسیدن به پاسخ دقیق تجارب گذشته است.
One is past experience.
و نکته دوم شناخت دقیق شرایط سوریه و منطقه است.
And the second is knowledge about the, you know, clear knowledge about the situation in Syria and the region.
در خصوص تجارب گذشته آخرین اقدامی که صورت گرفته در لیبی بوده.
Regarding previous experience, the latest is Libya.
آیا لیبی به سمت ثبات امنیتی
has Libya gone towards stability?
این سوال است که باید پاسخش رو از مردم لیبی پرسید.
We have to ask the Libyan people.
اما در مورد شرایط منطقه.
Now coming to the situation of the region.
منطقه خاورمیانه و به خصوص کشور سوریه شرایطی کاملا پیچیده و بسیار بسیار خطرناک است.
The military, the Middle East situation, particularly the situation in Syria, has a very complex and very dangerous situation.
سوابق تاریخی نشون داده که این منطقه متاسفانه سالهای سال در ناامنی و عدم استقرار قرار داشت.
Unfortunately, you know, history shows that for many, many years this region has been in a very unstable situation.
از نگرانی‌های جدی ما و همه کشورهایی که علاقمند به استقرار و ثبات در منطقه هستند، رشد فزاینده تروریسم و رشد گروه‌های افراطی در پرتو بحران سوریه است.
One of the main concerns that we have, you know, who are interested in stability in the region, is the growth of terrorism and the growth of terrorist groups in the region.
نکته دیگه که باعث نگرانی میشه زمینه‌های درگیری‌های طائفه‌ای و مذهبی در این منطقه.
And then the second worrying thing is the foundation laid for clashes between ethnics and religious.
این درگیری و نزاع بین شیعه و سنی، مسلمان و مسیحی و بین طوائف دیگر.
The conflict between the Shias and the Sunnis, between the Christians and the Muslims and all that.
و این نقطه بسیار خطرناکی در این
منطقه. Very, very dangerous.
که حتما در سوریه محدود نخواهد شد.
And this will definitely not be limited to the borders of Syria.
این منطقه به دلیل اون روابط فرهنگی و تاریخی که با یکدیگه داره خیلی سریع میتونه بحران ها رو در واقع گسترده تر بکنه.
Because of the interconnections between, you know, the region as a whole, you know, from one country to the next, be it religion or ethnicity, this could immediately spread the violence to other countries.
But it already, I mean, already in Lebanon, already in Jordan, it's
in Lebanon.
Turkey, even Turkey is
south of Turkey, Lebanon, Iraq, and Jordan.
Yes.
بنابراین اگر یک دخالت نظامی خارجی صورت بگیرد هیچ تضمینی وجود ندارد که این مداخله نظامی منجر به ایجاد ثبات در سوریه و منطقه بشه، بلکه زمینه های گسترش بی ثباتی، ناامنی و درگیری های مختلف رو فراهم خواهد کرد.
So if there is any kind of foreign military intervention cannot guarantee any stability in the region. On the contrary, it will only contribute to more instability, insecurity, and also clashes between various factors. Factions.
بدون تردید کشورها و دولت مردانی که نگران ثبات در جهان و منطقه هستند از یک دخالت نظامی حمایت نمی‌کنند.
Those countries who have the interest of security and stability of the region and the world in mind, they will definitely not support any military action in Syria.
تنها افراد گرایان و خشونت طلبان در دنیا هستند که موجودیت خودشون رو و منافع خودشون رو در بی‌ثباتی، ناامنی و جنگ می‌بینن.
Only the extremists, only the warmongers who actually see their existence in instability, only those people will support such action.
از این رو ما معتقدیم که آمریکا و رئیس جمهور این کشور در یک تله و دام در حال قرار گرفتن است.
We therefore believe that the United States and the President of the United States is falling into a trap.
که از طرف جنگ طرف ها و افرادگرایان در این دام پهن میشه.
And this trap has been laid by the extremists, by the warmongers and so on.
Tony Blair, we see the same grouping that was behind the origin of the Iraq war. Many people say, but that was the US war. But it was actually Britain which paved the way, which rolled out the red carpet and said, please come, please come, please come. Or we even saw it also with Iraq. We saw how there was this game of saying to Iraq at the time, why don't you go in and settle your differences with Kuwait? We'll do nothing, we'll be passive. And then people get lured into a war which they cannot really win. I mean, and for the US in the situation in Iraq, of course, it was the famous dossier that suddenly popped up that Tony Blair presented saying, if we do not act now, then Iraq will have weapons of mass destruction, which of course was a total lie, blatant lie. And that's of course, we're seeing the same game again. That you said this, that that Obama and the Americans is being lured in because, we know from our work in the United States that one of the reasons why what has been attempted now has not been, it has not worked earlier, is that the U.S. military has been very staunchly against military action. They are pointed to the fact that they had a disastrous war in Iraq, a disastrous war in Afghanistan, nothing achieved. Everybody knows what a disaster Libya is.
Yeah.
And therefore, to go into another war where you do not have an idea of what the outcome should be, you do not have an idea of what the solution should be, would be utterly madness.
Yeah.
But again, the trap has been set, as you said, to get the US to do that once again.
به خاطر همین مسئولین جمهوری اسلامی ایران هشدار جدی دادن نسبت به این قضیه، نسبت به بروز یک جنگ دیگه در خاورمیانه که میتواند یک جنگ جدی سخت و خانمانسوز و خانمانسوز باشه در این منطقه. ولذا بار دیگه ما تأکید داریم اگر کسی واقعا در فکر این هستش که مصائب مردم سوریه و ناراحتی های مردم سوریه پایان بپذیره، باید جدیت داشته باشه برای اینکه به یک راه حل سیاسی دست بیاره.
So it's precisely for this reason that officials of the Islamic Republic of Iran have warned against any kind of military intervention in there. And we have been adamant that if anybody has the interest of the Syrian people, if anybody wants to put an end to the suffering of the Syrian people, then they have to do their utmost to try and contribute to a political solution to the crisis. To find a political solution for the Syrian crisis is not a difficult matter.
به جای اینکه گروه‌های افراطی، تندرو و تروریستی در داخل سوریه تشویق به درگیری بشوند، بهتر است تشویق به مذاکره و گفتگو بشوند.
Instead of encouraging the extremists, the terrorist groups, the various factions in Syria and supplying them with things to go and on the fighting, instead all efforts should be made to persuade them to come to the negotiating table.
در این رابطه ما طرحی رو پیشنهاد دادیم که بر مبنای اون، بر مبنای یک راه حل دموکراتیک بر اساس آرا و خاص مردم سوریه به این بحران خاتمه داده بشه.
Based on that, we presented a plan a very democratic plan to put an end to the misery that the Syrian people are going through.
باید اجازه داد مردم سوریه سرنوشت خودشون
تعیین کنند. I think we have to allow the Syrian people to decide their own future.
و نباید برای آینده سوریه دیگران تصمیم بگیرند.
And others should not be allowed to decide for the people.
نه کشورهای منطقه و نه کشورهای خارج منطقه.
Not the people of the countries, not the people of outside the region.
البته متاسفانه ما شاهد هستیم که حتی در خصوص راه حل‌های دموکراتیک هم بعضن با مداخلاتی که صورت میگیره اینها با یک وضعیت دیگری دچار میشن.
Unfortunately, we see that even when the talk of a political solution comes up, then they're all jockeying for position to have their own, you know, different countries to have their own version of this story.
بنابراین ما در خصوص بحران سوریه به صورت جدی، همونطور که اشاره کردم، خواهان پایان خشونت‌ها و بازگشت آرامش ثبات در این کشور هستیم.
As I said, you know, we are seriously requesting an end to the crisis in Syria and the return of stability and peace.
تمامی مسعی خودمون رو از آغاز به کار گرفتیم و همچنان تلاش خودمون رو برای رسیدن به یک راه حل سیاسی دنبال می‌کنیم.
We have done all we could and we will continue to do all we can to this end.
و اعتقاد داریم که این خشونت‌ها و ناامنی‌ها نمی‌تواند باعث امنیت کسی بشه.
And we believe that, you know, these violence that is going on cannot bring about stability and peace for anybody.
تنها امنیت و ثبات نیازمند همکاری جمعی و بین‌المللی است.
The only way to bring about peace and stability and security is cooperation with the, you know, between the international community.
ایران به عنوان باثبات‌ترین کشور منطقه این آمادگی رو داره و از آغاز هم اعلام کردیم که در همکاری بین‌المللی و منطقه‌ای تمامی تلاش خودمون رو به کار بدیم تا ثبات و امنیت به کل منطقه بره.
ایران as the most stable country in the region has announced all along that we would help and we would do all we can to help bring about peace and stability to the region.
There's a lot, I mean, for instance, here in Denmark, even while the British Parliament turned down the Prime Minister's request to keep open the possibility of military intervention into Syria with British involvement, in Denmark it's actually the case that the leading parties is holding on to the idea of saying we cannot say no to the idea of not acting outside the United Nations with military action if there will be no satisfactory proposal from the United Nations. Now, I think a lot of the people that are doing this from a standpoint of simply not understanding where the fire they're playing with. It's like, you know, they're pretending it's like a free lunch, you know. It's like you play a game, you say, oh, then we throw a few bombs, you know, and then we'll see how it turns out. And one of the things that we have been trying to do, and Mr. LaRouche has been trying to do, is to get people really to think this through. Because it's easy, and a lot of people that have been involved in wars know this, it's easy to start a war. It's much, much more difficult to end it. And I think it is important to have a picture of what would actually happen if you do this. I mean, what would be the consequences? Is this something you can just do and then after a couple of days of bombing you say, oh, now we're tired of bombing, now we stop, and that was that? Or do you think if such military action is taken, like Mr. LaRouche is saying, he's saying, then it will have certain repercussions. This will actually unleash something you cannot simply put back in the bottle. And do you have any idea also from your knowledge of the whole region of telling these people why this is such a terrible idea? I mean, not just in general terms, but also what kind of thing could come out of it?
What have you been kidding? دولت بی پارلمان بریتانیا رای داد که به اصطلاح متوقف کنه اینجا، ولی هنوز کسایی هستن در اینجا که میگن نیاز هست به اقدام نظامی خارج از چارچوب سازمان ملل. یعنی اگه سازمان نتونه که به اصطلاح جواب قانع کننده بده، پس اقدام نظامی چیه؟ سوالش آخرش این بود که به اصطلاح آیا شما فکر میکنید که عواقب یک جنگ به اصطلاح شروع جنگ خیلی آسان خواهد بود؟ داره عواقبی چه خواهد بود؟
دقیقاً همونطور که عرض کردم، خوشبختانه در حال حاضر کسانی که خواستار اقدام یک جانبه هستند در صحنه جهانی در اولویت هستند.
I would like to first point out that fortunately you know, the people who are actually on the war footing they are in the minority.
خوشبختانه امروز من نوازه دولت دانمارک رو کمیسیون سیاست خارجی وزیر امور خارجه و نخواست وزیر میدم موضع منطقی داشته.
I have to say that the position
اینکه باید منتظر بود و منتظر نتایج بررسی بود.
It is good to hear that you know the Prime Minister, the Minister of Foreign Affairs here and the Committee of Foreign Policy, they have said that that we have to wait and see the outcome of the United Nations inspectors team.
همونطور که عرض کردم بدون تردید ممکن است زمان شروع یک جنگ یک جانبه از سوی آمریکا و برخی بتوانند تعیین کنند شروع، اما پایان چنین جنگی دیگر تعیین شده نیست.
As you said, you know, the United States or maybe so, you know, with a couple of others, you know, they might decide when to start a war, but they cannot decide when that war will end, as you said.
همونطور که عرض کردم درگیری در منطقه خاورمیانه منحصر به سوریه نیست.
As I said, you know, any conflict, military confrontation in that region will not be limited to Syria alone.
می تواند به رشد تروریست و افرادگرایی، بروز درگیری ها و نزاع های طایفه‌ای و قومی و نابودی بیشتر زیرساخت‌های کشور سوریه بشه.
It can lead to further, you know, growth in extremism, further growth in terrorism. It can lead to more confrontation, you know, ethnic confrontation, and it can lead to more destruction of the infrastructure of the country of Syria.
همونطور که گفتم تجارب اقداماتی که در این چارچوب در عراق و افغانستان صورت گرفت معید این هستش.
As I said, you know, the experience from Iraq and Afghanistan shows us that this outcome is likely to happen.
با توجه به تجارب برای اقدام مجدد باید همونطور که عرض کردم سوال بزرگی است که چرا مجدداً آمریکا خودش رو در این ورطه قرار داد.
But the question now is, you know, having gone through that experience, why is America now bringing itself back again to the same starting point again?
Yes, because, and that's of course very clearly that there's a big fight in the United States on this. There is the faction which is allied with this empire faction in Britain, with Tony Blair, with the Queen, for all that we know, with this, as you say, the faction of a war footing, which basically Mr. LaRouche's analysis have been that this is also has to be seen together with the fact that the transatlantic financial system is right now in a huge crisis, that the events of 2007-2008, which were temporarily solved by a massive pumping in of liquidity in the financial markets, didn't solve anything, but basically sustained and built up further the financial bubble. And as we sit right now, Mr. LaRouche came out with an analysis a few weeks ago saying, this is standing to pop this year. And this gives the added feature that as the financial system is coming down, the circles which has been relying on that financial system for their global power in the city of London, in Wall Street, exactly the circles which are against nation states, which like Tony Blair says, we should use responsibility to protect in order to undermine the principle of sovereign nations. They're seeing their power over the world through the financial system about to disappear, and therefore saying, let's have war, let's unleash this, and then somehow pick up the pieces.
You know, نقطه نظرات آقای داروش مطرح میکنن که اینها کلن این سازمانشون میگن که کل این چیزا زیر سر مؤسسات و مالی و چیز هست و مرکزشون در انگلیس و ملکه و اینا قدرت هایی که تونی بلر هم یکیه که به سراغ سربازان این داستان هست که در سال 2006-2007-2008 اینها سقوط به سراغ مالی داشتن ولی خب بالاخره با پمپاش کردن میلیاردها کمک به سراغ چیز تونستن یه جوری رو به سراغ کنترل کنن، حل نکرده ولی کنترل کردن. الان میبینن که وضعیت سیستمای مالی داره در حال فروپاشیه و در واقع این رو بهانه قرار دادن برای اینکه بذار خب بذار بجنگیم، بذار بریزی به هم و چیز بکنیم که در واقع به نوعی اینها دارن اون شکست خودشون رو در اونجا دارن میخوان.
So ironically, Mr. LaRouche has been saying in the US, as part of war prevention policy, you should stop any kind of military action. But at the same time, if the US Congress would adopt a Glass-Steagall banking separation and basically go against Wall Street, let them collapse and change the economic policy internally in the United States, that would also set the stage for not just for changing one policy, but having what you could call, what Mr. Helgeset LaRouche has been calling internationally, a paradigm shift. That is where you not only change one policy, but you change the whole basis of a policy and say, instead of having a continuous policy of saying we need a confrontation like from the United States with Syria, with Iran, with Russia, with China, instead saying, no, there's a natural interest of the United States to collaborate with Russia, with China, with Iran, with other nations on global projects, on economic rebuilding. That is to say, to take the financial crisis and instead of letting it be used as an excuse for war, go into and let it be the start point for massive collaboration and economic development.
یعنی که در واقع دو راه وجود داره. یکی اینکه این از وال استریت حمایت بشه، همین چیزهای مالی یا حمایت بشه، اینها هستن که این سر خشونت ها و اینا رو میخوان درگیری میخوان تا همین جنگ کنن. یکی میگه کنگره اینا بگید آقا جون بذار وال استریت سقوط کنه، یعنی همین سیستم مالی، و دنیا اصلا آمریکا کل روی کلش عوض کنه، بیاد بگه عوض این که مثلا با چین و با چین در بیفته، با ایران در بیفته، با روسیه در بیفته، دائما جنگ چیز باشه، بیان بگن این نقطه نظر آقای درویش بود، بیان بگن آقا جان اصلا کل بیاد همکاری بشه و یه سیستم اقتصادی جدیدی بنا بشه و یه چیزایی جدیدی بنا بشه که
خب مثلا
بتونن
گرفت. ببینید در این موضوع به یه نقطه باید تاکید داشته باشیم که من هم عقیده هستم، برای اینکه بدون تردید آمریکا و برخی هم پیمانان این کشور برای اقداماتی که در صحنه بین‌المللی انجام میدن، اون اهدافی رو که مطرح میکنن غالبا اهداف حقیقی نیست. برای مثال بحث حمایت از دموکراسی.
You know, I agree with a lot of the things you say. But one thing it has to be borne in mind that, you know, when countries like the United States and some of its allies, when they talk about the reasons behind the actions that they take, it is not always what they state out to be. There are always hidden agendas. For example, one is actions about supporting democracy.
ببینید مثلا کشور تونس امروز آمریکا داعی حمایت از دموکراسی مردم تونس هستش. بعد یه سوال هست، دو سه چهار سال آقای بن علی به عنوان یک دیکتاتور قدرتمند در تونس حکومت کرد به عنوان همپیمان آمریکا. سوال اینه چرا زمانی که بن علی حکومت میکرد آمریکا در فکر دموکراسی برای مردم تونس نبود؟
You know, America is continually talking about democracy for the people of Tunisia.
Or Egypt.
But for 30 and years, the dictators Ben Ali, Mubarak, they were ruling these countries. But then in those years, and the American allies, and there was no talk of democracy or the rights of the people under those regimes.
این یک واقعیت.
And this is a fact.
یا در خصوص تحولات مصر اگر بخوام که بحث مفصلیه، نمیخوام وارد بحث مصر بشم، اون جدایی به صورت جداگانه اگر زمانی لازم بود تشریح
می‌کنیم.
خب آمریکایی‌ها برای اینکه قدرت به دست اسلام‌گراها نیفتن تلاش وافری کردن.
The Americans, you know, they tried very hard to prevent the power going to the Islamists.
Except for now, when the United States has been supporting this introduction of an Islamic government of Egypt, which has now been rejected by the population very largely, or in Libya, where the United States supported the introduction of this fundamentalist regime in Libya. So you can say, or what we have been seeing as a policy from the United States, and some will say an insane anti-American policy, is the United States putting these exactly the people to power, which is totally opposed to the principles the United States itself was founded on, including those so-called rebels in Syria right now, Al-Qaeda group, Al-Nusra, all of these groups that are totally opposed to the ideas of democracy, to the ideas of equality, to you name it.
So همین دلیل در خصوص القاعده ما با این روبرو هستیم که گاهن بحث تروریسم خوب و بد رو مطرح می‌کنه. مگر میتوان تروریسم رو تقسیم به تروریسم خوب و بد کرد؟ یک روز اگر اینها در کنار منافع ما باشند تروریسم خوب است، اگر روزی برخلاف منافع ما باشند از نگاه آمریکا منافع میکنند، وقت میشن تروریست بد. غلط است.
American perspective, you know, someday they have good terrorists and someday they have bad terrorists. If they are fighting along us and our allies and in our interests, then they are good. But if they are fighting, you know, in areas or in places where it is, or if there are people who stand for their rights and this, then they are bad and they are terrorists.
And then, of course, it's the story that we have been trying to document over the years, that all of these terrorists, when they, like from the Afghanistan, all of the Mujahideen, when they stopped being used in Afghanistan, a lot of them went to Great Britain, to London, where they were safe housed, where they were continued to act, and they then turned up in many other countries as so-called terrorists now, trying to overthrow governments.
Yeah.
And to the present day, it's the same, very much British-controlled network, but you can also say at the same time funded by Saudi Arabia. This whole network was all the time there and being, at that time, and I still think still to the present time, very much controlled by what you can say the game masters in the British Empire, of playing one against another, divide and rule, divide and conquer. These old empire policies that were in former empires came to the British Empire and is still being applied.
Yeah. گروه تروریستی MKO که علیه منافع و مردم ایران اقدامات وحشتناک تروریستی داشتن، یک روز در لیست تروریستی آمریکا هست، ولی امروز که امریکا میخواد از اونها استفاده بکنه علیه جمهوری اسلامی ایران، از لیست خارج بکنه. بنابراین تروریست های دیروز آمریکا امروز تروریست های خوبی هستن، چون در کنار منافع آمریکا علیه ایران هست.
Just to confirm your point, you know, the so-called MKO, the Iranian terrorist group that sided with Saddam Hussein, and they had committed atrocities against the Iranian nation, and even some Americans, they had killed Americans. At one point, they were in the American, you know, list of American terrorists. Then they came abroad, and because they are now wanting to get their back on Iran,
because
now
they
take them out of the terrorist groups, and now they use them, you know,
they're
now good guys.
Exactly. I want to, because we also, I appreciate you have many other things to do, I want to ask at least one other question, which is
yeah.
Of course, we have this whole Syrian situation, but very many says, well, of course, this is not Syria, it has nothing to do with Syria. As the next step, at least, this is also a preparation for a military attack on Iran that many people has been fantasizing about, both in Britain and the United States, in Israel, of saying, you know, that this has to happen because Iran is potentially too strong, but that this is not only that, if that happens, then this naturally also is a confrontation with China, with Russia, because this is again the principle of national sovereignty. I mean, at some point Helga Seppler-Rusch named it that the fight we are seeing is the fight between the Putin doctrine and the Blair doctrine. The Blair doctrine being the principle of doing away with national sovereignty under the guise of other things, this responsibility to protect. Whereas Putin has been very firm in what he has been doing of saying that the principle of national sovereignty has to be, like is stated in the UN Charter, like is stated, was stated after World War II, this cannot be challenged. So an attack, of course, on Iran would also be, in principle, an attack on Russia and China. So if you say, some people were to say, we have to end this, we have to somehow de-escalate the whole situation, what would you propose to be also in terms of all of the things that's been about the possible, the Iranian nuclear program, the hype coming out from some circles of saying possible Iranian nuclear weapons at one point and so on and so forth being used in Israel. How do you see that it would be a good way to de-escalate this whole thing and establish re-establish the principle of having collaboration between all of the different nations?
خیلی ها میگن که این بحث سوریه اصلا به صلاح اصلا چیزی اصلا اینا یک بهانه است و هدف اینه که در واقع به ایران حمله بشه و ایران را از بین ببرند و این یک یک تقابل هست بین این دو تا دکترین، دکترین پوتین و دکترین بلر. دکتر بلر میگه که ما بایستی که با به اصطلاح حاکمیت ملی رو از بین ببریم، حالا یا نقض کنیم، حالا تحت لوای حفاظت از مردم یه چیزی. از اون طرف هم اونا میگن که نه، بایستی که احترام به تمامیت حکومتی کشورها ارزش اهمیت داده بشه. و این بحث حالا مطرح میشه در قالب این که مثلا ایران و برنامه اتمیش و باز دوباره خیلی ها میگن خب حالا بمب اتمیش و استفاده از اون علیه اسرائیل و اینها، چه جوری فکر میکنید که این مسئله رو میشه در واقع یه مقدار تنش‌زدایی کرد و برگردون به یه حالتی که به اصطلاح از این وضعیت به اصطلاح درگیری چیز اینا فروکش میشه؟
ببینید، ما نمیخوایم قضاوت بکنیم که اینها به دنبال چی هستن، اما یه نکته برای ما مهرس هست و این هستش که موضوع هستی ایران و فشارهایی که به ایران به بهانه موضوع هستی وارد میشه یک مسئله غیر واقعی.
I don't want to judge the purpose of all this, but what I can say about the Iranian nuclear issue is that the pressures that are being on Iran and the sanctions and all that is really based on things that are non-existent.
که متأسفانه با تحریک برخی طرف‌ها و همونطور که گفتن جنگ طرف‌ها و افراط‌گرایان صحنه بین‌المللی از جمله رژیم اسرائیل موجب شده که این فشارها از طرف آمریکا و برخی کشورهای غربی به ایران وارد
شد. Unfortunately, there are those extremist groups, the warmongers, and particularly the Israeli regime. They are inciting all this, and they're trying to, bring pressure on various power centers to impose these sanctions and put that pressure against Iran.
موضوع هسته‌ای ایران دو بُعد داره، بُعد فنی و بُعد سیاسی.
Iranian nuclear issue has two sides to it. One is the political aspect, and one is the technical aspect.
از نظر تکنیکالی تا کنون بر اساس بازرسی‌های متعددی که صورت گرفت، گزارشات متعددی که داده شده از طریق دبیرکل سازمان انرژی اتمی، تا کنون هیچ گونه انحرافی در خصوص فعالیت هسته ایران گزارش نشد.
On the technical side, there has been hours and hours of inspections from the IAEA. There have been numerous reports from the Director General of the IAEA. In all this, there has not been an iota of evidence of any deviation in the Iranian nuclear program.
For military purposes. تمام ادعاها بر مبنای احتمالات و تصورات.
All the accusations are based on, probabilities, maybes, might be.
متاسفانه و ایجاد نگرانی برای جامعه
and unfortunately creating concerns for the world community as well.
ما در گذشته اعلام کردیم در دولت جدید آقای حسن روحانی رئیس جمهور جدید و آقای ظریف وزیر خارجه جدید هر دو تأکید کردند. اولا بر مبنای یک سیاست معتدل و با هدف تنش‌زدایی در صحنه بین‌المللی و روابط جهانی سیاست خارجی جدید طراحی شد.
Both the Iranian new president Hassan Rouhani and the Iranian foreign minister Javad Zarif have said that the new government's policy will be emphasizing on a policy of moderation, trying to de-escalate tension and to bring down the tempers.
ما خواهان روابط دوستانه و صمیمی با جامعه جهانی هستیم.
We want to have friendly and comprehensive relations with the world community.
بیش از 250 سال ایران هیچ گونه تهاجم علیه هیچ کشور همسایه نداشت.
It's over 2.5 centuries, more than that, that Iran has not had any attacks on any of its neighbors.
ایران مدافع صلح و امنیت در منطقه بوده.
We have been a defender of peace and security in the region.
منادی ایجاد منطقه و بانیان ایجاد منطقه خالی از سلاح کشتار جمعی در خاورمیانه هستش.
We have been a leading advocate of a Middle East without or free of nuclear or other weapons of mass destruction.
در خصوص موضوع هسته‌ای خواهان حل موضوع در اولین فرصت ممکن و در سریع‌ترین زمان هستیم.
Regarding the nuclear issue, we want to solve this at the first opportunity, as soon as possible.
حل موضوع از نگاه ما بسیار آسان است.
The solution to this, from our point of view, is very simple.
در صورت شناسایی حق جمهوری اسلامی ایران برای غنی‌سازی اورانیوم جهت اهداف صلح‌آمیز خودش، ما آمادگی کامل داریم که هر گونه نگرانی رو از بین ببریم.
If Iran's right to enrich uranium for peaceful purposes is recognized, we are prepared to do anything to allay any international or legitimate concern about the program.
اگر طرف‌های ما و طرف‌های مذاکره با جدیت وارد مذاکره شوند، رسیدن به راه حل بسیار آسان.
If our interlocutors, if they come into negotiations with goodwill, reaching a solution and agreement is very, very simple.
ما امیدوار هستیم در دولت جدید با و این نگاه و سیاست‌های تشریح شده با حسن نیت طرف‌های مقابل روبرو بشیم.
We hope that the approach from the new government, this new drive from the new government, will be met with goodwill from the other side.
اگر حسن نیت وجود داشته باشه از طرف کشورهای مقابل، بدون تردید حل موضوع هسته‌ای ایران بسیار سریع و آسان است.
I can tell you this, if there is goodwill from the other side, a solution of the Iranian nuclear problem is very, very easy, straightforward.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Ambassador, just in the end, do you have anything else you would like to say?
تشکر میکنم. I would like to thank you very much, you and your colleagues and your colleagues in this institute, and I hope that the cooperation between embassy and your institute will continue. And I hope that one of the most responsibility for the research institute by Schiller or another institute is that to explain the real situation for the people, because unfortunately we are living in the atmosphere that some mass media try to say something is not true, and maybe sometimes the people and the government make decision based on the wrong information. Thank you very much.
And as I said, regarding this British decision yesterday, which surprised many that this would happen in Britain, it brings to mind the old saying from Abraham Lincoln in the United States. Yeah. You can fool some of the people all of the time, you can fool all of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. And hopefully this time has come where this can give us a change in policy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before that,